Australia Day. Australia Day. Invasion Day. Survival Day. What about the arrival of the first boat people? These words stir up different emotions in us. Some of us, some of these words make us go, yeah, this is great, this is wonderful, this is who we are. And some of these other words actually make us feel quite uncomfortable, don't they? But there are a few things that are absolutely certain about this day, about this weekend, Australia Day. And that is that more than 230 years ago, life for Indigenous Australians changed forever. And not only that, but also life for anyone and everyone who was on that first fleet also changed forever. And no matter who we are, what culture we're from, this day, it really stirs up passions within us, doesn't it? We hear from politicians all across, from all sides of government, who seem to think that they want to share their thoughts and their views and their opinions on what this day means. We have a whole bunch of shock jocks who think that their opinion is so valid and they want the whole world just to agree with them on what this day means. Everyone has an opinion about Australia Day. Even Christ followers. There are Christ followers who stand on one side of the fence in this argument. Then we have Christ followers who stand on the other side of the fence within this argument. And then we also have Christ followers who have decided to sit on the fence within this argument. And I think all of us together are saying, God, what is our right response within this argument? Should we be on this side of the fence? Should we be on that side of the fence? Should we just stay out of this argument and just sit on the fence? I really believe that what God is saying to his people is our position is that we should take away the fence. You see, and if that means, in fact, that means that we need to be a people who take offense. We need to be a people who take offense to racism. We need to be a people who take offense to violence. We need to be a people who take offense to division. That is what God is calling us to be. Mark Yetika Paulson, who is a South Queensland Indigenous leader and is also an advocate for faith and justice amongst the Aboriginal community, he said that he would love to see a discussion opened up about this day. And he really believes that the church has a great role to play within this whole discussion. In fact, this is what he's had to say about, this is what he says to the church about this discussion. In this national dialogue, we, the church, have a role to play in speaking love, forgiveness, and the ability to overcome. The church can be an example to fellow Australians by recognising the difficult parts of its own history. And then he goes on to say that we can do this. And it's not because we are special humans. It's because of the grace of God in us, the Spirit of God in us. It's because of the cross. Now, I don't want to devote this whole message on this topic about Australia Day and the argument about Australia Day. But because I don't think that a 20-minute message could do it justice and would do it justice. I think that this is a much bigger discussion that we need to have. But I wanted to name this argument. I wanted to acknowledge the pain of this argument. And I want us to be a place of love and respect. Amen. But today we want to talk about the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. And this, I've known these words from the song, I think in the early 90s, it might have even been in 1990 that the song was written. And I've sung the words for years, this is a great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Sung that for years and years and years. But I've never really stopped to think, well, where did this statement first come until I was given this topic? And I thought, who was the first person that ever used the phrase, the great Southland? Land of the Holy Spirit. You see, I would have imagined that it was probably one of the early free settlers who was sitting out there on his veranda with a nice breeze coming through in the afternoon as he looked over his lands and his cattle and the rolling hills and all of that. And he was sitting there and he with a nice cold drink in his hand, and he says to his wife, This is just the great south land of the Holy Spirit. Don't you agree, Marge? That's exactly where I thought it would have come from. But no, to my surprise, it actually came from this gentleman here. He is a Portuguese sea captain, and his name is Pedro Fernandes de Quirios. Have we got any Portuguese speakers in the congregation this morning? Excellent, so you can't question my pronunciation. Okay, so let's just call him Pedro for short, okay? Old mate Pedro. Now, he's sailing. He got a grant from the Spanish king to search the waters of the southern hemisphere because he believed that there was this great south land down there. And so Pedro, he took his expedition down to the southern oceans to try to find this great south land. And you see there that he landed and he said, Australia del Espíritu Santo, which was the Australian land of the Holy Spirit. However, there's a few little details that we need to know around this statement. First thing is, old mate Pedro never actually landed on Australia when he said this. You see, he landed on what we now know as Vanuatu. And made this amazing claim. Now, before we go saying, Pedro, what a goose, all right? Okay, what we need to understand is there were no sea maps of the area. He was searching for this great south land. And look, for anyone who has ever been on a South Pacific cruise, all right, I think you will all recognize and understand there is an awful lot of ocean and very little land out there. So without a map, he did really, really well to even find some land, okay? So he lands on Vanuatu and claims this as the great south land of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, we kind of think, well, was Pedro looking at the beauty of this landscape in front of him that he saw? Well, not really. You see, Pedro was very loyal to the king, and he was also a very devout Catholic. So when he made this statement of the great south land of the Holy Spirit, what he was saying was he was taking ownership of this land for the Spanish king and for the Holy Roman Church. Is what he was doing, Holy Roman Catholic Church. So that's what he was doing. So it wasn't like he was looking at this going, oh, this is so blessed, this is fantastic. No, he was taking ownership of these lands. And we can have a bit of a laugh at poor old Pedro's expense, finding Vanuatu and missing this great big island. But anyone who has ever had the privilege, anyone who's ever been blessed enough to live on this in this country, surely would agree that we are blessed by God, and this is this great Southland of the Holy Spirit. But you see, I think Pedro made another mistake. And that was, you see, when he tried to take ownership of this land, indeed, when any empire, when any person wants to take ownership of this land, it causes great offense to the indigenous people, to the first Australians. Because the first Australians, they don't actually believe that they own this land. The first Australians, they say that they were given stewardship of these lands. They were placed here to use the lands, to work the lands and let the lands replenish. Then work the lands and use the lands and let the lands replenish. They did not have an ownership of the lands. And it is an offense for anyone to own these lands. And for anyone for those of us who joined in with the song before, Great South Land of the Holy Spirit, and if you've sung that for years previous to today, you may have noticed there were a few changes to the words there. You see, because in the original lyrics of that song, the composer wrote, "This is our nation, this is our land." And he was approached by some Aboriginal Christians. And they made it known to him that it's actually quite offensive. And under his authority as the songwriter, he said, "Yes, please, let's change these words." And that's why we now sing, "This is your nation, God. This is your land." And we don't take ownership of it anymore. And I think that the Indigenous Australians had some sort of incredible spiritual understanding well before wise old white man came here and taught them all that they knew. I really do believe that they had a great spiritual understanding, because when they say that they do not own the land, that is so biblical, because this is what we read in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 24, verse 1, King David says these words, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him." There was a spiritual awakening within the first Australians that maybe we don't fully understand. Without the knowledge of white man coming here and telling them about this great Holy Spirit, they already knew. They were saying that, you know what, we have this connection to this Spirit who owns this land, and we are called to work the land, and this great Spirit owns the land. So this really prompted in me a search for, well, what was the spiritual beliefs of the very first Australians? Before any Bible ever reached these shores, what was the belief of the first Australians? And over the last few weeks, I've had some really great conversations, and I've been pointed to some amazing articles about the beliefs and the spiritual beliefs of the first Australians. And in particular, I was pointed to a group called Australians Together, and they're a faith-based organization who promote an understanding of Indigenous issues. And they actually wrote an article entitled Aboriginal Spirituality. And as I read through this article, it answered so many of the questions that I had. And it really, and as I read through it, I was just like, my eyes were open. I went, wow. There was this great understanding of the Holy Spirit within this land well before well before any first fleet arrived, well before even Pedro came and made his declarations, there was a real spiritual understanding within this country. And although the Aboriginal people may have had a different name, you see, they called this the Great Ancestor Creator Spirits. Now, it is plural, all right? But I don't want us to take offense to that, because don't we believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I think that there was an amazing spiritual understanding. So they believe in this great ancestor creator spirits created this land. And Dr. Vicky Greaves wrote this about the Aboriginals' understanding of what the spirit meant. And it says this, I know this is fairly small, but I'll read through it for you. It says, these ancestors created order out of chaos, form out of formlessness, life out of lifelessness, and as they did so, they established the ways in which things should live in interconnectedness so as to maintain order and sustainability. The creation ancestors thus laid down not only the foundations of all life, but also what people had to do and maintain their part of this interdependence, the law. The law ensures that each person knows his or her connectedness and responsibilities for other people, for country, and for their ongoing relationship with the ancestor spirits themselves. Now, when we speak of ancestor spirits, I don't want you to think that this is all about ancestral worship, okay? This is very different. Ancestor worship is where people would call on ancestors in their recent history to come and give them answers. This is more of a connectedness from a time well ago where they believe that there's a connectedness to this ancestor spirit. And it's what they knew God as. And so as I read through this, especially that beginning part where it says that they created form out of formlessness and life out of lifelessness, I thought to myself, where have I heard something very similar to this before? Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2 tells us this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. These ancestor spirits created form out of the formless. The earth was formless and empty. And then Dr. Greaves goes on to speak about how this ancestor spirit actually put into the hearts of the Aboriginal people what they called the law and how to treat other people and how they should live. And it's quite amazing then that in Romans 2, verse 14 to 15, it tells us this. This is about people who have never, ever seen the law of God. And this is what the Word of God tells us for those who've never actually seen the Word of God. Even though the law wasn't given to them, in themselves, they have the law. Here's the thing. Their lives demonstrate that God has inscribed the law's teaching on their hearts. On judgment day, their consciences will testify for them, and their thoughts will both accuse them and defend them. Wow. This ancestor spirit that the Indigenous Australians speak of actually wrote the law on their heart. And here it is, God saying, you know what? These people were given the law. They know what it is. So we can very assuredly say that this Holy Spirit was hovering over this country. The Holy Spirit dwelt in this country, absolutely. And I believe that these verses together and that article from Dr. Greaves also points to the real truth of these words from Ecclesiastes verses 3 and 11. And it says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. before any Bible was placed into the hands of the Australian, of the first Australians. Eternity had already been planted in their heart by God, by this great ancestor spirit as they knew him. So yes, this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. And we don't need the Portuguese sea captain, old Pedro, to stick his flag in, to stick the flag in the sand and say, this is who you are. The people, the country. We know that this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. But even though we are the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, I want you to know what? That is not going to save our souls. Just because the Holy Spirit hovers over this land, the Holy Spirit dwells within the lands, that is not going to save the people. We can sit there and say, ah, yeah, this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. But we need to be a people who have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We need to be a people who have the Holy Spirit living within us, not just in the land, but actually living in our hearts. Because when we have the Holy Spirit living in our hearts, the Holy Spirit brings life. And from that Bible reading that we had before, thank you, Jess, for reading that. This is some of the words from that. Now Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by that same spirit that breathes life into you. We can be the great South land of the Holy Spirit, but I tell you, I think it would be a far better thing if we were known as the great South people of the Holy Spirit. If we were known as a people in the South who were just indwelt by the Holy Spirit, a people from the South who were directed by the Holy Spirit. And not only does the Holy Spirit breathe life into us, but this reading goes on to say that the Holy Spirit invites us to be part of God's family. The Holy Spirit asks us to become part of the inheritance of God our Father. And again, further on in that reading, we have these verses. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. God has brought us into his family. We have the inheritance of God. And again, I think you know what? The first Australians, they were really onto something here. They had this great awakening that I wish that we had, because when they speak of this creator, they speak of the ancestor creator spirit. An ancestor would suggest a relationship. An ancestor would suggest we are connected. The Word of God tells us that through his Holy Spirit, we are connected. We are part of the family. We are invited to be no longer someone in fear of not being good enough. We are no longer a slave, but we are in fact invited into the full inheritance of all he is through the Holy Spirit. This is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, and we need to become the great South people of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up here. And as the worship team come up, I want you to consider, where are you today? Are you still living under that thought of never being good enough? That spirit that says, I'm just not good enough. Are you living under that spirit of, I'm a slave? Or are you living under the spirit of the Holy Spirit, who is inviting you into full relationship, full inheritance of God? As we sing these words, this place of prayer here will be open. And if today you want to become a child in the kingdom of God, then I invite you, come to this place of prayer. If you've been someone who's attended church for a long time and you're still living under that spirit of not good enough, come talk to God at this place of prayer and realize the truth about who you are today. Amen.